dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for a tour of what I think is an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world, the war we are very much in at the moment. A man who is very well suited to give us such an intelligence briefing has spent much of his life in senior government positions, including overseeing the intelligence community on the staff of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He is Dan Gallington, a former Air Force officer, a man who served in various other capacities, including as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, and who is now a columnist with U.S. News and World Report. Dan, it's always good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thanks, Frank. It's always great to be here.
I hardly know where to begin, Dan. Maybe we could start with the developments that seem awfully reminiscent to some of the days in which we worked together back in the Pentagon in the Cold War. Is that what's emerging in your estimation as we look at not only Vladimir Putin's belligerence towards Ukraine, but also the ongoing and it seems increasingly aggressive modernization of Russia's nuclear forces?
Well, I think that's one conclusion. I mean, you can't forget who the guy is. He's a KGB thug, and he runs Russia under this guise of new populism. But he's really a KGB thug. That's the way he operates. Look at what he's doing. He moves in these special forces guys disguised as populists. And this is traditional kind of KGB, GRU stuff that he was raised on.
Talk a little bit, Dan, though, about the nuclear stuff, because we don't really think about these sorts of issues very much anymore in this country. We just had a flight test of a new multi-warhead intercontinental ballistic missile. There are some who think that that's a violation of the new START treaty. There certainly is another weapon that they've recently introduced that's a violation of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. Compare and contrast, if you would, Dan, that to what we're doing with respect to our own nuclear forces at the moment.
Well, you know, it's funny. You said some people think it's a violation of new START. Some people say, no, it's not. And the reason that debate is there is because we so poorly negotiated New START that the definitions essentially come from Russian positions. We've taken what the Russians wanted and incorporated it into a treaty and then drafted a bunch of goofy compliance inspection protocols. So the bottom line is the Russians are going to do what they want to with their missile force and modernize it as they had planned. We're the only ones that seem to be stopped, and the legal term is stopped by a START and our reluctance to modernize our forces. We've got ICBMs out in the Midwest and our missile fields sitting empty. I mean, this is crazy. We haven't modernized these nuclear forces for 20, 30 years.
You know, back when we were in the Pentagon together, we were building the forces that we're still living off of today. And sadly, I think most Americans, Dan Gallington, are completely oblivious to the fact that these things haven't been tested since 1992 in terms of the nuclear weapons themselves. The modernization has been non-existent on the nuclear side and limited, to say the least, in terms of their delivery systems. And it contrasts, and I'm afraid it's part of the backdrop against which this KGB thug, as you call him, is calculating what he can get away with. And I'm afraid he calculates properly. He can get away with just about anything he wants. But let me switch gears with you, Dan. I want to talk also about what the Chinese are up to at the moment. And you've been expressing concern about developments that suggest they're very seriously pursuing what I guess would be called by the military a space control capacity. Talk a bit about what that would entail and what it might mean strategically were they to accomplish it.
Well, if you look at what the president of China just said about the desirability of the militarization of space, it's basically the kind of approach that we had during the Reagan administration when we talked about how space was simply another place that we needed to have a capability to use our forces if we were attacked and if necessary. In other words, it was a place like the ocean, like the land,
theater of
like
operations,
the air, and that sort of thing. And, right, it was just simply another theater of operations. So what you're hearing from this guy is essentially a guy beating on his chest and saying, by the way, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be modernizing our space assets. We have an ASAT program. They've got a thing on the moon digging up moon rocks right now by automatic control. These are folks who understand the desirability of being able to exert military force in space should they need to.
Right. And Dan, what's so striking about this, again, as you will recall from your time in various capacities in the Pentagon and elsewhere in the United States government, when we were talking about space as a theater of military operations, the Chinese, as I recall, were very busily beating their chest about how it was an affront to have anybody even think about, let alone act upon, the idea of militarizing space. In fact, they've been promoting for decades a treaty to prohibit that. And it goes back to what you said earlier about our treaties with the Russians and before that the Soviet Union. It always seemed to work to stop us, but it never really seemed to make any difference in controlling their behavior. And I would assume that you would agree that that would be true in spades were we to get into some sort of nonsensical ban on militarizing space with the Chinese.
Oh, they'd love that. They would love it just like the Russians used to lecture us. You know, I was on the defense and space talks in Geneva for many years with the Russians, and they would lecture us, you know, incessantly about the evils of the militarization of space. But these guys, of course, had programs that were just behind those fake words that they were building and intended to build no matter what agreements they signed with us.
For the purpose of exercising control of space. Dan Gallington, let me take advantage of one other aspect of your career. You were, of course, not only the general counsel of the Senate Intelligence Committee, but you were the last general counsel who really served as a bipartisan figure. And we've seen a lot of partisanship lately. You've written in U.S. News and World Report about the need to fix the broken intelligence committees. This is particularly evident in light of the recent and, I guess, ongoing spat over this investigation the Democrats in the Intelligence Committee have engaged in on the so-called enhanced interrogation practices of the Bush administration. Talk a little bit about the backstory there and where you think we ought to go with these committees.
Well, it's a sad thing for me to see. And as you mentioned, I was the last bipartisan general counsel. Bob Kerry, from senator from Nebraska, a Medal of Honor winner, Democrat, Senator Shelby from Alabama, Republican, they both embraced me and let me do my work over there unfettered by any kind of politics. That was a great committee. We functioned extremely well. But in the last dozen years or so, the committee has just fallen apart. It's become typically political as any other committee on the Hill. And the media is kind of complicit in this. You know, Feinstein gets on the floor in the Senate and talks about the investigation she's running. Well, she didn't mention that it was a totally Democratic staff investigation. And that we never used to do that. We would always do bipartisan investigations. So our findings would be, would be carried out by the administration no matter which party it was.
Talk quickly about the enhanced interrogation techniques and where you think we ought to go on that.
It's one of those things they never should have done. It's one of those things that was so close to the edge of legality, and it was so carefully worded, and the legal opinions were so sharply. It was something done right on the edge of the word torture, and it only had the intention of the interrogators that separated it from torture. You add that to the fact that you're depending on accurate, truthful reports from the field. you're depending on the aggressive oversight. And how about the suggestion, oh, by the way, we want to burn these videotapes we have of enhanced interrogation. Holy cow. If that isn't an indication that it was
something was not right,
a program that was doomed.
Dan, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid, for the moment. But there's much more to talk about. We'll look forward to doing so with you again in the very near future. Thank you for your service to our country, past and present and continuing. Keep it up. We'll talk with you, as I say, very soon. Next up, a former senior official in the Department of Homeland Security talks about cyber warfare and the threat it poses to all of us. Straight ahead.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.